there.
How about that? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, amen? Saved by grace through the blood of Christ, by faith. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm really excited about this series and what God is doing. I want to share with you some good news. We were recognized, our community outreach team, recognized by SOS for serving meals every other month. The third Monday, the next time we serve is the third Monday in March, and we're feeding folks that are hungry here locally in Brazil in Clay County. Really, really excited. Proud of that team. Give them a hand. Praise God. If you'd like to join us, we're looking forward to Super Service Sunday, which is April 30th, where we go in our community and neighborhoods. We're going to have five churches join us this year to make an impact in Brazil, to minister unto the least of these, to be a good neighbor. And I'll be preaching a good neighbor, how to be a good neighbor series during that time. We're going to do a tag team preaching service with four other congregations. Not all of us are of the same denomination, but we serve the same Lord. So I'm really, really excited about that. CJ and the youth ministry team is going to be leading that. We're going to join in with them and make a difference in our community. Amen? So I want to also say I'm proud of you. I am proud of you. You're sitting in blue chairs. The balcony people are sitting in the bleachers. Balcony people, give it up out there. I want you to know you are loved. You are loved even though you choose to sit the farthest away from me. I'm not taking it personally. That's where I sit. My wife sits there every week, almost as far away from me as she can. I don't know why. She loves me. I know. I know she does. Right, honey? Right, honey? Okay, pray for us. Put us on your prayer list. Hey, grab your outline. A couple other things I just want to brag on you is you're sitting in the blue chairs, you're in the balcony, we've come from the promised land to the wilderness, and you've stayed with us. Praise the Lord. One more week, March 12th, we're going to be back in the worship center. Things are on pretty well on schedule. Praise God. Doing the remodel. We had a little glitch with the screens. We're going to have two screens so you can see better and we can do some lighting better. And the screens were transposed by the company, a couple numbers out of order. And so we got 12-foot screens where we need 8-foot screens. So I don't know if we'll have them by opening day, but we're going to project on sheets or something. All right, but it's going to be awesome. Want to update you, our goal was $100,000. We have $98,500 that was raised by the grace of God through your generous, outrageous generosity. So we're really, really excited about that. And I just believe that God's going to do exceedingly abundantly more than that through what he does through his people. So I'm just really, really excited about all of that. And those are challenges. And I now that I've bragged on you a little bit, I'm going to have to lower the boom a little bit. And I want you to know that I love you and that you're in the hug. But we're doing these 360-degree evaluations that are very significant for my own personal development and for the staff development. I want you to think of this as an act of worship. Remember, we're inspiring worship, and this is an opportunity to inspire you to worship via evaluating and getting your feedback. And so some of you that got a 360-degree evaluation on some of our staff and on me, yours truly, really need to go ahead and fill those out and complete them because you haven't responded yet. And we really need your feedback so that we can know where to professionally develop and grow. And so we need your feedback. So that's one survey that's going out. And this Monday, tomorrow, another survey is going to go out. A baseline survey for inspiring worship. It's a real short survey. It's about 10 to 20 questions. And we just want your feedback of where you are in worshiping our God who is worthy to be praised. Amen? So we expect you to do that. And especially you young folks, and yet by young I mean 30 and under, we really want to hear from you. Okay? Balcony. You responded just now. I didn't say you're old, but I just clarified what we are meaning by young. You could be, I feel like I'm young. I feel younger than I've ever been in my life. You're not buying it, are you? Hey, we are in a sermon series called Hashtag Challenges, Worshiping God in a Selfie-Centered World. And this week we're going to talk about relationships and intimacy. Next week we're going to talk about authenticity. And I'm really looking forward to these messages because I think that's where we really are. Now, you all know that we have a son and daughter that are adults, and we have grandchildren now, and I know that you can't believe that I'm that old, but they are doing their careers, and they're walking with the Lord, and we're really, really excited about God's grace in that. But one of the most exciting things for me, or one of the things that are most encouraging to me, is when they text me and say, "Dad, you're going through. I know you're going through a difficult time. We're praying for you. We love you. We're proud of you." And I've received those texts from our kids. And that's a way that I am encouraged by those that are closest to me. It really, really makes a difference for me. Now, you might think, well, Chris, you're kind of scaly and you're kind of tough and you're not very sensitive. And those things would be true. But I know that. I know, you know, God's working on me too. But those kind of things penetrate and say, hey, you know, God is using us and you to make a difference in our lives together. And I want you to know I love connecting with technology. I like social media. I like Facebook. I'm not very good. I'm not very fluid. I like my phone. I like my iPad. I like my computer. I like all that stuff. And I just want you to know I was frustrated this week. I was getting some paint mixed at Walmart for our rentals. On Friday, it was my day off, so I'm not doing it on church time. And I went to get some paint mixed, and lo and behold, they got a new computerized paint mixer. They got it last Saturday. It was a week old in the store this week, and this is in our Walmart. And I went to get 5 gallons of baked custard, which is the color. I have one color that we paint everything, and that's baked custard. And they discontinued that color. And so that's a challenge in and of itself. The problem was they got this new computer and they didn't train the department head or anybody that worked in the paint department. And the guy who's retirement age, I'll say that, over 30 for balcony people, explain it, did not like computers, does not own a cell phone, and doesn't like any of that stuff. And when he said that, I thought, I'm in trouble. And so to get 4 gallons of paint mixed, he called this young guy who wasn't trained either. And we spent 35 minutes or 40 minutes, and I was trying to coach them kindly, representing Christ and being a senior pastor here in the community, until I had to say, I really think you need to go get a manager. And I wasn't making a kind suggestion. I was saying, I am done with you, and call someone who knows what they're doing. And lo and behold, the manager knew something that they didn't know, and it was a customized color, and they went to this other computer, and then I proceeded to help coach the manager in getting inner baked custard. You probably find it in the folder with the color book, and it will already be pre-mixed. And lo and behold, that computer activated with, or interconnected with the paint mixing computer, and lo and behold, it mixed the paint. Praise God. I was ready to cheer too. And they thanked me for my help. And so technology, when you see new technology, it's a challenge, and you have to have a good attitude about it, but at the same time, you've got to persist, and you just can't say, I don't like it, because it's there and it's real. And what my concern is about technology is that it can hurt our relationships and it can distract us from what God has intended for our lives. And if you're looking for a text this morning, it's in your bulletin and or in your Bible and or on your iPad or your phone. It's John 13:34 and 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another." Jesus said this after he washed the disciples' feet. He was being the doulos. He was being the servant to all. But what he was saying was that it wasn't theology, it wasn't doctrine, it wasn't church attendance that made a difference. It was our capacity to love one another. And I want to look at a few things that are changing our relationships, what technology is doing to our relationships, first of all, this morning. And the first one, if you're following along in your outline, is the term friend is evolving. If you Google this, the average Facebook user has 338 friends. They say the mean is around 200 friends. And today, and the average adult social media user only has two close friends. This is friends that you confide in, that you share your problems with, that maybe you would pray for each other for personal concerns, share with them about your relationship. Now, what's significant about this is that 25% of the people report that they have no close, intimate friends. And what's concerning is that there's plenty of online activity, but there's more limited personal intimacy. So the term friend is evolving. Second, we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. Immediate affirmation. And what they're saying, and I think we see this, is that all this social, Facebook, media interaction is deferring loneliness. It's delaying the loneliness that we experience by being engaged online. And this instant gratification stimulates the brain's reward center. Now, this is a word that you may or may not use. It's called dopamine. And the chemical dopamine, the feel-good drug that our brain gives us, says, "Hey, this is good, this is great." And we have that little lit up experience, I guess is what you'd call it. And we say, well, we can't get enough of that. And you see people like you or like what you've posted, and then you may wonder, why did she or why didn't he like me? And they may never have seen it, but you're already feeling hurt by that. Or why isn't he following me? Or why isn't she following me? Or why haven't they friended me? And the problem is that we're looking and we're living for likes and we're longing for love. We're looking and living for likes, but we're longing for love. Third way that technology is changing our relationships is we have the power to do friendship on our own terms. We have the power to do friendships on our own terms. Yesterday, I got texted, or Friday night, or last night, I got texted at 9:45. There's nothing wrong with being texted at 9:45, except for my phone is off, and I might be asleep at that time. And so if somebody wants to be text back, and some of you are incredulous that you're asleep at 9:45. Yes, I may have fallen asleep. I'm exhausted and I fell asleep in my chair or on the couch or wherever. And I don't respond. Now, that person on the other end of that text may not feel like I care about them when I don't even know they've texted me. Or what's dangerous is maybe you have multiple ways through Messenger and Instagram and all different ways to email, and if you're not constantly on it, you don't respond in a timely way, they're offended before you ever have the chance to respond. Because we have the power to do friendship on our own terms. We have the power to follow or to unfollow, friend or unfriend. And when I'm talking to younger people, again, balcony, those that are 30 and younger, They tell me the more they interact online and whatever social media that they use, the more they crave physical interaction with other people. It's empowering. It's important. What I want to look at as you're following along is that we need to practice the power of presence. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Gathering together in two or three, gathering together for corporate worship, gathering in some type of intimate way. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about a very pivotal moment in my family, my mom and dad's life, and in our family life. We were just connecting at a church, North Terre Haute Christian Church, on the north side of Terre Haute, when I was about a teenager. And we'd been very good Sunday morning, 2 out of 4 attender on Sunday on a week on a basis. My dad worked swing shift. My mom made sure that I went to church, but we weren't always there. And I joined a Bible Bowl team. We don't have Bible Bowl anymore, but it was a Wednesday afternoon event after church or after school. And I'd walk to the church, and we'd have a snack, and then we'd have Bible Bowl practice, and then we'd have a fellowship meal, and then we'd have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, or they had some type of youth activity that we would do. And so that forced my family, because they didn't want to be embarrassed, because they didn't want to send their teenage son without their family, and that actually engaged them in church, and that changed our family's life together. Because they went over and above that once a week pattern into something more, what do I say, more encouraging or more stabilizing, and then Christ became the center of our home. It made a radical, transforming difference in my family life, the way I grew up. Because of presence, because of gathering together. I say Sunday school classes, small groups, ministry groups, whatever works for you to get you engaged with other people. Because I learned more about myself and more about Christ with the other people that I was fellowshipping and doing life together with. And that's what we need, life together. And when we talk about the presence of God, what was Jesus' other name? He was called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. He is present with us. He is inside of you as the Holy Spirit. He is present as we gather today. His Spirit is felt in this place and inside of us. And it makes a huge difference. You see, God didn't text His message. He just didn't send us the written word. He sent His physical presence, His very nature in Jesus Christ to the earth. So it was life on life with the apostles and with those He ministered with to make a difference. In saying all that, I just want to get very practical with you. And here's a couple things that you can do. First of all, first bullet point, be present. Say to yourself, I will love people face to face, not just thumbs to thumbs. Say that after me. I forgot. All right. I will love people face to face. Not thumbs to thumbs. Let's try it one more time, Kevin. I will love people face to face, not just thumbs to thumbs. Do you believe that? Romans 12, 9 and 10, and verse 13. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, outdo one another in showing honor, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Would that describe you? Now, I assume that you have at least one friend. I think that you're of the 75% that have at least one friend, that you're not all alone. And when your friend is hurting and suffering, what do you do? Now, something that would be good would be to text them and say, I'm concerned about you. I love you. How are you doing? Better than that, better would be to take your phone out and call them and actually voice to voice say, hey, I'm concerned about you. You've been on my heart. I care about you. I want you to know I love you. How are you doing? Have a conversation. Now, even better than that, even better, the best thing would be to maybe walk to your house, maybe drive your car, get on your skateboard, ride your moped, or since we're in Brazil, Indiana, get on your lawnmower and go and see them eye to eye, face to face, talk and say, how are you doing? Now, I'm not a touchy-feely guy, you know that. Maybe pat them on the shoulder and say, hey, I love you. Or a safe hug, or if you're a hugger, hug them and tell them, I'm concerned, I care about you. You matter to me. And engage and be present. There's power in presence. I can remember a funeral that I went to. It was a devastating funeral. Four casket funeral. Grandmother, daughter, son-in-law, grandchild. Across the church. Not here. Years ago. I was a youth pastor. And I went in, and very close. I grew up in youth group. These were people in ministry I loved dearly. He was a campus minister up in northern Ohio. They were going to a Christian concert. They were all riding in a car together, and a drunk hit him head on. And I went to that funeral as a young youth pastor, and I just sobbed. I cried, and I cried, and I cried. I loved on the family. Didn't say a word. I just blubbered. You know how, you know, one of those cries where you snot and blubber and, you know, ugly cry. It was ugly. And hugged. And I got a note after from the family that basically said, hey, we really, really appreciate all that you said and all that you encouraged me. I didn't say one word. I wasn't capable of that. But they heard in my presence, what they had to hear and what they felt. Presence makes a huge difference in people's lives. There's a difference between praying for and praying with. And the second bullet point this morning is this. Be engaged. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be engaged. Let me tell you something. I know you're in here. I see you. I can meet you eye to eye. That doesn't mean that you're engaged with me. Some of you are holding your cell phones, and maybe you're reading Scripture. And some of you may not. You may be on Facebook, or you may be texting, or making your plan, or your grocery list, or whatever. But when you're engaged, it's eye to eye, mind to mind. And I struggle with that because I'm ADHD. And the staff knows that. At times, Chris is not there. Well, you just said that. Where were you? Well, I'm right here. I can be mentally absent, and so can you. So when you come in for corporate worship, engage. Why waste your time? This is the 1 hour of the week where we can experience the presence corporately with God. Imagine you come in and you have an important thing to say to me. You're going through a very difficult time and you want counseling. And I greet you, I shake your hand, I ask if you want coffee or water or tea. something to drink, and let's sit down and talk. And you're pouring your heart out to me. And I grab a book while you're pouring your heart out to me, and I read a couple pages. And then I say, oh, I'm sorry. And then I look at you again. And then they allow a phone call to come through. I didn't hit my do not disturb button. And I said, excuse me, let me answer my phone. And so then I talk. And then my phone kind of buzzes, and I get a text. And so I text someone back while you're pouring your heart out to me. Wouldn't that be rude? Wouldn't that be insensitive? How unengaged could I be? When something buzzes or bings or tings or whistles, are you its servant? Are you fearful of missing out on something in social media? Now, that funny cat picture or that comment, you look so hot on Facebook, or liking a pic probably isn't going to matter in the large scheme of things. But at the end of your life, will it really matter how many likes you got? It won't be how many likes you got. It will be how much love you showed. Folks, I see it when I go into restaurants, and Stacy and I are having dinner together, and I'm totally engaged in her conversation. I just want you to know that, because every once in a while I'll get a quiz or a test. Were you listening to me? What did I just say? And I'll give her the outline. I heard everything you said, dear. But did you see these people sitting at that table over there? They all have their phones out. And they're having a meal together, but they're not even looking at each other. They're not even communicating. They're just sitting there with their phones. I saw a beautiful young couple after one of our basketball games in here the other night. I was watching them. As soon as the game was over, he went over and he sat down and he picked up his phone. She didn't even notice because she was on her phone. That's how unengaged they are. Isn't that a shame? In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, that community loved each other so much that they worshiped together daily. They communed together daily. They shared together. They prayed together. They struggled. They gave up everything for each other because they were totally engaged with each other. When I think about our relationship with God, my relationship with God, I've got to ask myself, how present am I as I do my devotion daily, as I read His Word? How present am I? Am I just going through the motions? How engaged am I in my life as I live it out before the Lord? Am I really engaged? Is He really number one? Is He the center of my life? And as I talk to people and as I share with you, as we do life together as a church community, how engaged are we with one another? Do we really care and love each other? I pray we do, because John writes, and this is still applicable, as Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This morning I want to challenge you. Hashtag challenge. Worshiping God in a selfie-centered world. Are you engaged? Are you present? Do you really love others? Will you please stand as I close in prayer? Father God, we ask a blessing upon these, your people. We pray, Father, that we will be present and engaged with you vertically, as well as engaged and present with others horizontally, that we won't allow the distractions of technology to lessen our love and our relationships with those around us, those that we should care the most about. Father, if that's a problem, we pray that you will change us, that you will transform us. Father, if it's something that we don't know how to do, I pray that you will intervene in our lives and help us. Father, I just pray a blessing upon these, your people. And Father, for those that you call unto yourself, I pray that you would move this day. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.